Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
August is almost over, and that means the Kinda Funny Patreon pledge drive is about to wrap up. If you love what we do, please know we couldn't do it without your support on patreon.com/kindafunny, and it would mean the world to us if you tossed us a sub, even if it was just for a month.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 24th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adioye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim motherfucking Gettys.
I'm having a great morning,
boy. Yeah?
Why so? It's a little too hot outside. Don't like that.
You don't like
that? Don't like that one bit. I can't stand the heat. I'm staying out of the kitchen. You know what I mean? That's been my life since day one. You know, the sunburns is one thing. The discomfort's another.
Yeah.
I'm just not a sun boy. You know?
No. I like the sun. What I don't like is the fact that in San Francisco, not every unit has AC.
Yeah.
And so the apartment I live in, we don't have AC. Two, we're on the top floor and heat rises.
Ooh.
And the insulation is bad.
Fire
so all
rises.
The heat gets trapped. The fire. Yeah, exactly. The heat gets trapped in my apartment in a way that makes it very uncomfortable to live in.
I get it.
And
man.
I was talking about yesterday how I wasn't getting a lot of sleep. It was because of the heat.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to sleep in that amount of heat. Thankfully, last night, because I was so tired, I passed out at like 9:30 p.m.
Dude.
And I got the best sleep of my life last night.
Yeah, I am having the same problems with sleep because of how hot it is.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I have two Pomeranians that are the fluffiest little heat machines of all time.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're just trying to survive. They're just like, what? Like, Dad, help me. What is happening? Why is it so hot? And I don't know what to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same. Like, both Alyssa and Lulu run warm when they're, like, asleep. And so that means the bed is just extra hot. It's
the worst.
It's the worst. And so I hope people understand when we're talking about the heat here in San Francisco.
It's
like, oh, like you don't know what you're talking about. It's not 100 degrees here and stuff like that. Like, yes, when we're outside, it's fine. It's not that bad. But here's the thing about being inside San Francisco homes where these places were built with the weather of San Francisco in mind from 40 years ago and not with the climate change and all that stuff today, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like they're so over what's the word? When houses trap heat.
Insulated?
They're so over insulated for whenever every once in a blue moon it's a warm day in San Francisco, but then when it gets really cold, it gets to trap whatever heat it can just to keep you warm. But now because it's hot, like now that we have like months where it's actually like really fucking warm, being inside fucking sucks because a lot of places don't have AC units.
So. And I've experienced this both in Seattle and San Francisco because it's that similar thing where, buildings are built for a certain kind of weather. And when you have weather that only gets this hot maybe a few weeks out of the year, then like that's an acceptable cost, like sunken cost, right? Hey, let people be hot for 2 weeks for the rest of the year they can save money on like all this stuff to make to give their building better insulation, all this stuff. Like for people in chat that are like, oh, but it's only 72 in San Francisco. I'm in Miami. It's fucking hot. Listen, I grew up in Illinois. I also lived in Nigeria for a couple of years. I know what it's like to live in a place that is hot. It is different when you don't have AC. Like in Nigeria, walking into any building that has AC and you get drenched with that cold air, it's a wonderful feeling. Ooh. Guess what? Like you get that. Like that is a society that is built for that. San Francisco is not a society that is built for that kind of heat. And so
we don't live in a society.
It's the same way that when I lived in Seattle, around like 2017, 2018, there were a couple of weeks during the winter that it would snow and the roads would get a little bit icy. And coming from Illinois, I was like, oh, yeah, like I know how to drive in snow. Like that's the easiest thing ever. Like I've driven in snow my whole life, at least since I was 16. I can handle this. Then I start to do it. And I'm like, oh, no, Seattle doesn't have the systems for getting in like the snow plowers and putting the salt on the road. And also it's very hilly. It is a different beast driving in the snow in Seattle than driving in the snow in flat Illinois. And so, it's different out here.
It's different out here.
But also I tend to like the heat aside from just the sleeping aspect of it. Right.
Yeah.
Like going outside, having the sun shining on me, being able to be in a t-shirt. It's the best.
Yeah.
It's the best time.
I'm a jacket boy. Always have been. Always will be.
Always will be. Tim, that's about all that. Let's talk about today's stories, which include Xbox's response to Series S criticisms. Was Elder Scrolls 6 announced too early? And more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games and Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/Kinda Funny will get you the show ad-free, plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. A new Kind of Funny XCast is up right now, all about whether Starfield is the start of a new Xbox. You can, of course, catch that over on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. And then, Tim, what's going on with In Review?
In Review, a new one, starts today. Saw In Review. We're getting into the spooky season just a little early. We're going to be doing Saw leading all the way through to Halloween, where we would do Saw 10. The newest installment in the Saw franchise. The final one, potentially. They already had the final chapter. No, they only did it once.
Okay.
But there was two movies after it. So this we're about to get the third after it. But yeah, we're starting from the beginning. I watched Saw 1 last night. I can't wait to talk about it later today on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Otherwise, it'll be going up later. For everybody else, Alfredo Diaz will be joining us. Oh. Me, Nick, Joey, Alfredo, and Andy Cortez, who for some reason doesn't see Saw as a horror franchise. And it's like, okay.
Oh, he made a huge mistake.
Do you already know that?
No, but like, here's the thing. He always, you know, there's the bit, right? There's the bit like, oh man, sorry guys, I couldn't make it to this In Review. Just because he's a big scaredy cat, which I understand, I empathize with. But like, was the franchise he decided.
But Saul isn't spooky. It's scary, but it's not spooky.
It's fucked up a little bit, though.
Oh, it's real fucked up.
So, but that's the thing is Andy, like, I don't know how many of them he's seen, but he has seen a couple of them, and he really liked them back in the day. So he was like, yo, I'm in for this. And I was like, you realize that there's a lot of tension and jump scares and stuff. Like, I would say I understand that Saw's not, like, the scariest movie ever. Mm-hmm. Saw is scarier than most scary movies, I would say. I love scary movies. And I'm not even talking about the gore and stuff. I'm literally talking about people jumping out of closets and shit.
I'm trying to think if I heard him screaming last night, and I'm like, obviously that's a gamble of like, if it, is it
is it
he's
a scary
watching
movie?
A Saw or is he streaming? You know, like, so I'm trying to think if I remember him like screaming from whatever. Yesterday.
Well, we'll have to find out because he's joining us for all 10 of these motherfuckers. So,
how old were you when you watched your first Saw?
It was 2004, so I was like 12, 11,
okay,
12.
Because I remember being a kid watching Saw for the first time. It was at like a cousin's house and they just happened to have it on, and I think it scarred me for life. Like, oh, I don't think I was a different person before Saw and after Saw.
Yeah,
like, I did not, that was the most fucked up shit I had seen up until that point in my life.
Oh yeah, dude. I don't want to spoil shit. I want to talk about it later. Yeah, I fucking love Saw. That's all I need to say. I've seen every Saw except the first one day of coming out in theaters.
God damn.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
I'm going to keep it going.
I don't think I can do that. I would walk out the theater at some points. Yeah. It's just like, it's so fucking fucked up. I feel it's what those up. Characters are going through.
Oh, it's bad.
Dip your fucking hand in some acid. I'm like, no, why are we doing this? Put this nail, or put this fucking nail through your fingernail, or else we'll cut off your friend's hand. And it's like, what's going on? Like, what's wrong with you, my guy?
You can find out what's going on.
What's this Saw guy name? What's his name?
Jigsaw.
Of course it is. get it together, Jigsaw. Go to some therapy.
John Kramer.
Anyway. Therapy would probably be like the big solution to all this.
Well, what
right?
if they? What if I told you they dealt with that in one of the later movies? Don't worry about it.
Men would rather torture other people than go to therapy.
Men would rather become Jigsaw than go to therapy. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Jedi Master Deadpool, Delaney Twining, and Logan Delaney, the Delaney Bros. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
Starting with our number one, it's Gamescom. And Phil Spencer is talking about the Series S. Phil Spencer doesn't see a world where Xbox Series S has to miss out on some games. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has said the company doesn't have any plans to allow the release of Xbox Series X exclusive games. It's currently a mandatory requirement for developers to ensure that their games are compatible with both Series X and Series S in order to release them for Microsoft's consoles. Some developers have argued that having to cater to Microsoft's entry-level console is limiting the potential of current-gen games. And the Xbox release of one of this year's most high-profile titles, Baldur's Gate 3, is currently being held up by technical issues encountered by developer Larian Studios, which has so far been unable to get its split-screen co-op mode to run to an acceptable level on Series S. Quote, on S, specifically, we designed the box with similarities to X and clear places where we're targeting a different performance, Spencer told Eurogamer on Wednesday. Quote, and we're taking feedback from devs, including Larian. I met with them today to talk about it, and I'm confident we're going to find a solution and we're going to learn. I don't see a world where we drop S. In terms of parity, I don't think you've heard from us or Larian that this was about parity. I think it's more that the community is talking about it. There are features that ship on X today that do not ship on S, even from our own games, like ray tracing that works on X, it's not on S in certain games. So for an S customer, they spent roughly half of what the X customer bought. They understand that it's not going to run the same way. I want to make sure that games are available on both. That's our job as a platform holder, and we're committed to that with our partners, Spencer continued. And I think we're going to get there with Larian, so I'm not overly worried about that, but we've learned some stuff through it. Having an entry-level price point for console, sub-$300, is a good thing for the industry. I think it's important. The Switch has been able to do that in terms of kind of the traditional plug into my television consoles. I think it's important, so we're committed. End quote. Of course, this article went up earlier. A couple hours ago, there's a tweet from Sven Vink, who works at Larian, who tweeted out, I'm super happy to confirm that after meeting with Phil Spencer yesterday, we found a solution that allows us to bring Baldur's Gate 3 to Xbox players this year still, something we've been working towards for quite some time. All improvements will be there with split-screen co-op on Series X. Series S will not feature split-screen co-op, but will also include cross-save progression between Steam and Xbox Series.
It's interesting that it's phrased here that after meeting with him yesterday, we've come up with something. It's like, damn, so that like shit's going down at Gamescom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like these decisions are being made. This is not surprising to me in any way that there are issues being dealt with the power disparity between the different consoles. We kind of assumed that this would happen even dating back to the PS4 Pro days of all the conversations of what's this going to do to developers? Is it putting too much stress on them to be able to make it run on multiple SKUs and all of that? And we've seen examples of that being the case. We've seen examples of it not really getting in the way. And I feel like this is just going to be part of a continued conversation as this generation goes on, as we probably get iterative upgrades even to the PS5 and Xbox Series. Like, I imagine we'll get another series at some point this generation. And I feel like this is just going to be a continuous problem that eventually will just kind of become a standard in the same way that we've seen with smartphones over the last decade plus. And it is interesting, though, the way that Phil's talking about features, talking about split screen co-op and ray tracing as equals.
Yeah, which I wouldn't have thought that. Right?
Yeah.
Like in the way that we've talked about the Series S and the Series X. Cool. Ray tracing. Yeah, I can see I can see how that then gets split up. Right. Because ray tracing is a feature that we talk about when it comes to the next gen consoles and stuff. Things like 60 FPS performance modes. I can see how that gets divvied up between the Series X and the Series S. When we get into things like split screen co-op, that's a gameplay feature. Right.
Yeah.
There, right. Like that is actually getting into now you're cutting off modes off the game. And that was the conversation that Larian was having in terms of not being able to ship on Xbox this year, possibly, potentially, because they couldn't get that at parity with Series S and Series X. And so the statement from Sven here talking about, after meeting with Phil Spencer yesterday, now we're going to release on Series S. I wonder if the conversation with Phil was, hey, we'll make an exception for you. Like, usually wouldn't do this, but Baldur's Gate 3 is one of the most popular games of the year. It's one of the biggest games of the year. It's a game that our audience is going to be clamoring for, and it's a thing that, like, is making us look bad, right? The fact that this is now out everywhere, but not on Xbox this year. We should make some exceptions for you, because Baldur's Gate 3 is this, like, different case of a game that we need to get to our audience. I could see that being the case. I wonder if I wonder if this opens up the can of worms for other developers to go, oh, but they didn't have split screen, so like,
I just need to go to Gamescom and talk to Phil. You know what I mean? And we'll figure it out. I think that the line here is that there are features that ship on X today that do not ship on S, even from our own games, like ray tracing that works on X, not on S in certain games. Are there other examples? Like besides ray tracing?
Besides ray tracing and like, in like 60.
But let us know. I don't know this myself, but I do. I'm not surprised that this is happening and it's going to start to happen more and more with different things because that's just the way that these things go. What's interesting about this is who does this affect more? They're committing to the Series S. It sounds like they're not budging for this for now.
Yeah.
And it's hard because the install base of that thing compared to the X, right? Like I'm sure it's a sizable amount of the Xbox audience, like maybe not the majority, maybe though. I don't know. Are there more S or X players out there?
I think there's enough S players that you can't abandon them. Like there's
absolutely.
And
we were talking about XCast recently. Like we were having this kind of discussion without these updates today a couple weeks ago. And I feel like Paris was talking about how I think there's more S's out there.
There might be
in the wild, yeah.
Because I mean, when I bought an Xbox for my nephews, it was a Series S, and it was a very easy decision of, oh yeah, it's cheaper. Like who needs the physical games anymore, right? Like we don't need that element. I'm gonna give them Game Pass as well, and like yeah, if they're missing out on ray tracing and performance stuff, then so be it, right? Like they're still gonna get what they need out of this thing.
And I think that is where I find this conversation most interesting is who is this affecting the most? Is it the S players or the X players? Because I would argue that my gut tells me that the S players are not the hardest of hardcore. They're not the ones that are caring about all these modes anyways. They, for the most part, are the ones that are looking for an entry point into the Xbox ecosystem, into video games in general. This is my Game Pass machine. Like, I just want to be able to play games, and that, like, I'm just looking to play games. It doesn't need to be at their best or anything, and whatever games come to me, I'm going to be there for. I think on the X side, though, Baldur's Gate's not there when it could be. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I mean, right now, yeah.
Right now, yeah, like, yes. We should have a date for it, and we don't
for yet. Sure.
So it's like, I think that it's more affecting the X players that aren't able to get games because decisions need to be made for the parity to get down to the S.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's problematic.
You brought up the idea of the Series X, as the Series family getting the pro versions or other consoles being added to that could be more powerful or whatever. Does that happen when you have to cater to the Series S? Like, can we get a Series X that is a more powerful pro version, like the Series A, I don't know what they call it, but like another series that is more powerful when you still got to make these games for Series S? Because I think then we start to talk about the iPhone thing of these incremental upgrades that, we shave off the bottom portion of them as we start to add in more of these things. If the Series S has the most units out there, right, or has a very sizable chunk of units out there in comparison to the family, I don't think you can shave it off.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that I think that this is right. I'm just saying it like it is. Remember when Xbox One games were part of this too?
Yeah.
Right?
That
means
fair.
And then they weren't at a certain point. And I feel like it is it's going to be easier for Xbox to care less about the Series S audience when there's more Series players on other consoles. And they'd be like, at a certain cutoff point, hey, not all games are going to come to Series S because we need to focus on the X and Z and whatever the fuck else after, right?
Yeah.
And it's all just kind of building into that, the marketing speak of it all, and then getting consumers used to that upgrade course or the understanding of there is a pro model. There is something better than what I have, and what I have is good for now, but what is the guarantee of time on that thing?
Yeah.
When you look at what Xbox is building now, I feel like it's pretty obvious that that's the course forward, while also building out the extreme low side of the cloud. Like, I think the Series S to them was a stopgap place and time need for where the games industry was at that moment in time for them to continue to get as big of a foothold of audience as they can.
Yeah.
But I think things already are starting to shift and change when you see what Xbox has at their disposal. And now that the games are starting to come out and all that, I imagine that their push into the Samsung TVs and into all of that, that is their solution to the low end of entry points for Xbox gamers.
I see exactly what you're talking about. The worry I have there is that will we ever get there in terms of cloud? Like I know there's a push and pull of the accessibility and approachability of it and how all of us have screens that would work with, right? Theoretically, if Xbox cloud could work as it should, everybody just has Xbox, right? Because you have a Samsung TV, you have a computer, you have whatever screen. But will people actually play the games like that way as their core way, right? Is that a thing that is going to work well enough to where that replaces a console for you? Because if not, then yes, I think Series S still is the answer, because Series S, again, is very successful. Even Xbox, or even Phil Spencer in this article is talking about how, yeah, like the having an entry level price point for a console sub $300 is a good thing for the industry. They believe in the Series S, and the Series S is getting it done for them right now. And even in a world where they weren't thinking about cloud gaming, like Series S works. Like that gets that job done. It's hard to imagine. I guess it's not hard to imagine. I think the thing wouldn't need to be that if you're going to introduce, let's call it the Series Z. If you introduce the Series Z, Series X then needs to come to that sub 300 place.
Which I think it would.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the natural progression of this, right? Like that is exactly the future I see. And I feel like it's backed up with the numbers they're talking about in the same way that phones work, where, yeah, eventually the like hot new item gets like dropped down a bit. Like even just looking at iPhones, when it took a while, but we're now at a point that all of them have the full screen. Yeah. You know, it's not that you don't have the ones with the button anymore. And that took years of it being the hot new thing, having multiple levels, but then eventually it lowers down to that same price point, or at least relatively close to that same price point. But what's, I would love to see a breakdown of Xbox Series X owners versus Series S owners and their main reason for purchase.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure that there are millions and millions and millions of people who the Series S was their choice because that was all that they could afford. They're going all in on it. They wish they can do more, but that's what they're doing, and like that is their gaming console of choice. But I also think that relative to the Xbox Series X, way more people in the Series S either have one as a second console for convenience, or as a I'm interested in Xbox. I already have a PlayStation or Switch, but like I want to be able to play some of these games, so I'm going to get the lower one. I don't need the fanciest one to play Halo Infinite, but I do want to play Halo Infinite, so I have it there. Or just gifts for people or whatever it is. I just imagine that that is a much larger margin than the X,
yeah,
right? And when you start looking at that, that's just a lot more people that are playing Xbox games, which is good. But how many of those people care as much about split screen in Baldur's Gate compared to ray tracing? I would argue probably a lot more. I think that the moment Series S players that are a little more on the casual side are playing games and being like, wait a minute, like, why isn't this working when it's not something like ray tracing? That could be really bad. I don't know that it's going to be bad for Baldur's Gate here, but like if other developers are getting concessions made for them, at what point is that like, hey, this is actually a worse experience for the game? Do we hit that point? I don't know.
Bear, what's this that you're showing?
This is from ID at Xbox, some event when they talked about the total sales between the X and the S, 21 million. I think this was a few months ago, but there was another slide that was shown. Beretta's slide also revealed that 48% of Series S players are new to Xbox.
Yeah.
Just to give I
think makes
context.
A lot of sense.
Absolutely.
To the conversation of what happens as we move on, does Xbox Series X come down in price to that sub $300 point? There is another article that I actually didn't include in the Roper Report because we have a lot of Xbox talk here, but like this actually fits this conversation perfectly. This is another one from Tom Ivan. The article is titled, Xbox Boss Says Current Gen Console Prices Won't Come Down Like They Used To. It reads like this. Microsoft's head of gaming has said the price of current-gen consoles won't come down over time in the same way as other systems have in the past generations. While previously it could be relatively cheap to buy console hardware at later stages of its lifespan because reduced manufacturing costs might be passed on to consumers, Xbox boss Phil Spencer told Eurogamer that's no longer the case. Quote, "The prices aren't coming down," he said. "We see it now, and that's why we did Xbox Series S. I know there's a bunch of questions like, what is it doing? We wanted to make sure we had a sub $300 console because we want to grow. And we think an entry-level price point for many new families or players coming into the market is going to be important," end quote. Spencer added, quote, "For us, thinking about where our hardware is going and reaching more customers, price point is important. But you're not going to be able to start with a console that is $500 thinking it's going to get to $200. That won't happen because core components that you use, you're used to Moore's law shooting up and to the right. But your components, you can't buy them anymore as a hardware maker because nobody's making that kind of RAM or other components. It's not the way it used to be where you could take a spec and then ride it out over 10 years and ride the price points down. It's why you see console pricing relatively flat," end quote.
Yeah, there's bits and pieces there, some of which I absolutely believe, some of which I think is twisting reality just a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do think, though, that there are very, very likely outcomes to come from this that are in line with what he's saying. I don't expect the $500 consoles to get down to $200. Right. I do think that we will see price cuts over time, and I do think that eventually there will be new products introduced that just push the price down, even if they're taking a loss in somewhat on some way on it to get rid of inventory or whatever it is. But tech has changed and the way that these things advance and all that. But then on top of that, though, just the base needs of what these consoles are and have gotten closer and closer to being a high-end computer over the years and functioning that way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that everyone's meeting in the middle in a way, and especially when it comes to the higher end side, and then the lower end being more the cloud and all that stuff. As this is being built out, we're in this place right now that it's not working perfectly, but it is working good.
Yeah.
And if it starts working great, then all of a sudden the price differences don't mean as much. But the reality is, with how intense games are these days, video games are insane. We look at video games all the time and we're like, oh, this is ugly. And it's like, what we're looking at is ugly. We are just so privileged to be able to see games that look this good, that play this well, all this stuff, even with the bugs, even with all that stuff. We've had conversations a million times now about AAA games ballooning too big and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just a reality. It is what it is. Mm-hmm. The tech and hardware needs to be able to back that stuff up, and that comes at a price.
Yeah.
You just simply can't put out hardware to run this stuff cheaper than certain prices they're even putting out there, because that is where the industry has pushed themselves and found themselves.
The thing I wonder, and what I get from the conversations that we're having and then also reading through this article from VGC and trying to read the tea leaves here, what if we just don't have a series, like, again, a quote-unquote, maybe making up the title for it, a Series Z, a more powerful console, until next gen? What if that midpoint thing is Xbox putting out a cloud thing, and we ride the Xbox Series X as the most powerful SKU up until whatever the next generation thing is? Because, like, we talk about PlayStation 2, and PlayStation, the rumor is that they're going to put out a diskless version of their console, right? Or not the diskless version, sorry, the disk drive thing, and then, like, a PlayStation Slim version, right? We're not necessarily talking about a more powerful PS5. And, like, my other question with that, too, is, like, do we need a more powerful PS5 and Xbox Series X in the next 2 years? Like, I don't feel like we're pushing those boundaries yet.
Look, it always comes down to the games, and it seems like a lot of the games right now are not optimizing for the tech that's already currently being used, but that's also because there are multiple SKUs more than ever, and it causes these problems. Like, there's so much at play here of, do we need more powerful consoles? No. Are we going to get more powerful consoles? Absolutely. Like, I guarantee we're going to get more powerful PS5, even if it's not in the ways that we're used to thinking about it. But Greg and I were talking on PS I Love You about this a couple days ago, I think. Might have been with you. I did two episodes. They were both great. But talking about, like, what are the marketing gimmicks that you can talk about? Like,
I think that was us, because I'm still, because with the PS4 Pro, right, there were those features. There's
HDR.
That
was the big
4K.
Thing. Yeah, but like I was saying there, HDR on consoles and stuff didn't exist until essentially the Xbox One S.
Yeah.
And
One X.
One X, was it? One X and, was it One S?
I believe it was One S and One X, yeah.
Yeah, I think both of those. And the PS4 Pro started pushing this HDR thing and introduced a whole new tech to the video game landscape that legitimately did enhance and change how games are made, but that also required TV companies to change the way TVs are made. And there was there's a lot of synergy necessary to push this type of tech forward. It's not just about more teraflops and more, like, fancy numbers going up like it used to be back in the day. Like, I was saying this already, but 8K is on the box of the PS4 or PS5.
I think about that very often.
And it's like, it's all just meaningless nonsense unless the games are being made to back it up. And we're already seeing games not hit the numbers that we would like. And we only would like them because they were being advertised to us as this.
But
is that
the fault of the box, or is that just the fault of we're not there yet with video game development? And even, like, I don't have an 8K screen in my home, right?
I mean,
like,
I think it's a big, taking the 8K out of it, because that's an absurd conversation.
Yeah.
Just where we're at now, I think it's a bit in every vertical of it, where it is the development of games, it is the tech being used, but I think it's also the fact that it has to be playable on multiple SKUs. And we're seeing it here. Baldur's Gate will not have split screen.
Yeah.
Right? And because of that, there's all these issues happening, because Xbox, because of their ecosystem, has promised there will be parity of releases on the games, on the different consoles. And it's like, this is just the world we're living in, where it's like, I think that we will eventually get a better PS5 because they built this. So now they need to continue to push this narrative and spread things apart to be able to keep making money.
Yeah. But I don't like spreading things apart. You know what I mean?
Hey, I don't either, but it is what it is. This, like, is where we're at.
I'm fine with the PS5, honestly. I don't need a Pro. Give me a PS6 in 2028. We'll call it a day.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I can't believe playing Final Fantasy 16 how many times my PS5 crashed. It was insane.
I saw some people tweeting about my
shit was overheating.
You were the first person who like talked about their PS5 overheating. But yeah, with Final Fantasy 16, I saw multiple posts of people being like, yeah, I enter boss fights and this shit heats up my PS5.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
I mean, dude, like it was not.
But also, the boss fights were hot though.
They were. But yeah, pretty much every boss fight from the second half of the game on, I was not alone. That happened a lot. And like for everyone, like, oh, clean your PS5. I fucking clean my PS5. Who the fuck do you think I am?
It's Tim Gettys. Of course,
God damn.
PS5.
Jesus Christ.
What do you think he's doing in his free time? Story number two. Todd Howard wants Elder Scrolls 6 to be the ultimate fantasy world simulator. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Todd Howard has provided a brief update on The Elder Scrolls 6, the next game that he'll direct after Starfield. The highly anticipated game was announced at E3 2018 with a brief teaser trailer, which confirmed it was in pre-production at Bethesda Game Studios. However, Bethesda also revealed Starfield at the same event, and the sci-fi RPG was ahead of the fantasy one in its release pipeline. Following several delays, Starfield will arrive on September 6th, and Elder Scrolls 6 will be the studio's next flagship game, ahead of Fallout 5. Asked if he regrets Elder Scrolls 6 being announced so long ago, Howard told GQ, quote, "I have asked myself that a lot. I don't know. I probably would have announced it more casually," end quote. Commenting on what he'd like to achieve with the game, Howard said, quote, "It's like, I don't want to answer, but I want to be polite. I'll say that we want to fill that role of the ultimate fantasy world simulator, and there are different ways to accomplish that given the time that has passed," end quote. Howard said in June 2021 that Elder Scrolls 6 was still in relatively early planning stages and that it would benefit from the studio's work on Starfield. Quote, "The new Starfield technology, Creation Engine 2, is sort of built for both games. It's like a new tech base," he told The Telegraph. "The vast majority of our development work is on Starfield right now, but everybody works on everything, so the projects kind of intertwine. It's good to think of Elder Scrolls 6 as still being in a design phase, but we're checking the tech. Is this going to handle the things we want to do in that game? Every game will have some new suites of technology, so Elder Scrolls 6 will have some additions on Creation Engine 2 that game is going to require," end quote. Tim, was Elder Scrolls 6 announced too early?
I definitively say no. Mm-hmm. I feel like us as gamers, we can't have it every which way. Can't be like, man, we need to be more transparent and announce games as soon as they're working on them, and then also just be like, oh man, you announced this too early because we're not going to see it. It's like, yo, I like knowing. I think that every game studio is different. I think that every game franchise is different. I talk about the unicorns a lot.
Yeah.
There are certain games that it's like, yeah, cool. We know they're working on another Elder Scrolls. But now we actually know they're working on another one, and we can stop theorizing of like, when are they going to announce it or whatever. It's like, cool, it's here. Then the conversation becomes, when's it going to be re-revealed? When's it going to be actually talked about? When's it a real game?
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. Like, I feel like you can argue that this is overhyping something, like him saying, oh, it could have been a little more casual.
Yeah.
But we see that a lot, where it's like, oh, yeah, we're working on a new Bioshock. And now here we are, like, oh, yeah, they're working on a new Bioshock.
Yeah, and we're like, where's the trailer for the new Bioshock?
You know, I feel like there's just no pleasing everybody. So, like, honestly, I don't think that there's a right answer. I think that everybody's going to feel differently about how these games are either announced, not announced, secret, not secret, just a this should have been an email, or, oh, they put a freaking 10-second CG teaser that has nothing to actually do with the game. Like, what's the difference, really? I don't know, but that's more exciting.
Yeah, I'm with you. And yeah, I think for a game like Elder Scrolls that has all this hype, that, you know, Skyrim is probably one of the most notable games ever made. Yeah, like, you want to hype it up. But also, yeah, I'm with you, right? That, like, I don't think there's a right answer. And I definitely understand the side of, well, let's just have transparency. You look at the movie industry and it's like whenever a movie gets greenlit, immediately, okay, yeah, this studio is working on this with this writer and this person. We'll see you in a year. You hate that?
Personally, I mean, yeah. And again, I don't speak for everybody, but I speak for myself. I like the excitement. The video game industry has showcases. The movie industry doesn't. So I like showcases. I like there being surprises. I like that big moment of, you didn't know this was happening. Boom, now it's happening. Mm. And when it's just like a press release of, hey, these directors are working on this game, it's like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
That's much less exciting to me. But that's just me.
And it's that tough thing where there are just so many moving parts to it, right? Because I imagine for the movie industry, the reason why that happens is, like, if you want to have the excitement, you got to announce with a trailer. But to have a trailer, you have to have recorded footage, and you have to have all that stuff edited together, and this stuff is getting announced before we even get to the part where we've recorded any footage, right? Like, this is being announced pre-production.
I mean, you don't... The one exception, essentially, is Marvel, right? That, hey, yeah, you just fucking phase three, and here's a bunch of logos, which that is Starfield. That is Metroid Prime 4, right? Yeah. That is exactly the same thing. But that is unique to them. Like, they could do that. They could do some CG little shit and, like, show it off if they wanted to. They just rarely do that. unless it's like a Comic-Con or something. But even then, it's different than a Summer Game Fest.
And that's with video games, the tough thing is that video games take so long to make. And so when Todd Howard, or whoever it was, I assume it was Todd, came on stage and revealed the teaser for Elder Scrolls 6, I'm sitting there like, by the time this game comes out, I'm going to be 38 years old, probably. Like, I'm going to be a different person. Who knows if I'm going to be playing video games by the time we get Elder Scrolls 6. And that's the nature of the industry. Again, I don't think there's a right answer to it. I do like the idea and what they did with Fallout 4, which is announced that game, and then 6 months later, we were playing in our hands. For me, that was the most hyped thing ever. But also, that's not for everybody.
But I love that both of those are Bethesda. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that there's nothing better for the industry than a now, soon, later type of methodology when it comes to why am I investing in this console? What am I going to be playing this fall, next year, and a couple years from now?
How do you feel about the way CD Projekt Red has been doing it? Because they basically have a whole roadmap of here are all the projects we're working on. We have a Witcher remake. We have the Witcher sequel. We have a new Cyberpunk thing will happen eventually. We have a multiplayer thing going on over here, and they've laid all that stuff out in a way that's very transparent, in a way that feels very Hollywood. Is that a thing? Do you, based on what you're talking about, do you not like that?
I mean, I think that it, again, there's pros and cons, and do I like it versus like, is it right versus whatever? Like, I don't think that there's a right answer to this. I think personally, to me, I look at CD Projekt Red, I'm like, yeah, that looks awesome. They're a company that can do that, that has the resources, that has the teams, that has the IP. There's just a lot of stuff there. Having said that, when they have one misstep, when Cyberpunk comes out and doesn't hit the way that anybody expected it to, then everyone's looking like, oh man, Cyberpunk's a problem. Look at their whole roadmap. What are they going to do with all this stuff? Like, inherently, there's going to be issues and discourse around every decision made. So I think there's pros and cons, but I really do think it comes down to the studio kind of understanding what they have and what they're doing and what the best thing for them is, and to get gamers excited, because that's the point of marketing, right?
Yeah. Tim, it's pros and cons, but you know where you can go if you want just the pros. Kindoffunny.com/Patreon. Over there on Patreon.com, so it's kind of funny. You can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with some epic news, Tim. Ooh. Story number three. Epic's new program lets developers keep their revenue in exchange for exclusivity. This is Jay Peters at The Verge. Epic Games will let developers keep 100% of their net revenues from the Epic Games Store for 6 months if they choose to make their games or apps exclusives for that time through its new first run program, the company announced on Wednesday. Typically, Epic lets developers keep 88% of the revenues, with the company taking a 12% cut. For developers who launch a product through first run, the split will return to 88-12 once the 6 months are up. Developers who choose to participate in the Epic First Run program will see a few other benefits as well. Epic says first run games and apps will be presented to store users with, quote, new exclusive badging, homepage placements, and dedicated collections, end quote, and will be featured in, quote, relevant store campaigns, including sales, events, and editorial as applicable, end quote. The program is open now, and the first products that will be eligible to be a part of the program must launch on or after October 16th. Here's Epic's exact language on what the products are eligible. Quote, a new release game or app which has not been previously released on another third-party PC store or included in a subscription service available on another third-party PC store. Games or apps with a pre-existing exclusivity deal with the Epic Game Store are not eligible for the program, end quote. However, developers can be a part of First Run and still release their products on their own stores. Quote, products in the Epic First Run program can also be released simultaneously on publishers and developers' own stores or launchers with direct sales. Sale of an Epic digital redemption code or integration with our keyless redemption program, Epic says.
Holy shit.
Right?
This is wild. I'm really struggling to see the downside to this. Mm-hmm. Where's the gotcha? Because we're looking at 100%.
I've got one right now. Nuaren Games says, Jeff Grubb said that they're no longer getting lump sums. Sorry, it's going away. Stop moving, chat. Getting lump sums for exclusivity now, so this is probably a worse deal.
Cut me off, Barrett. Launching I had a good point that I was going to make. God damn it. Now Jeff Grubb gets all that credit.
There you go. Fucking Jeff Grubb.
But yeah,
was that the point you were going to bring up? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. What I was going to say is 100% in the first 6 months, like that is... That's the money made from that game, right? After the first 6 months, money will be coming in, but it is going to be nowhere near that. Mm. But the one thing that could be here that I don't know, but if they were to take away the actual exclusivity deals, because exclusivity being the one part of the offer here of like, you give us exclusivity, we'll give you 100% for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
But before, they were paying for that exclusivity. So if they're no longer paying, I imagine that number is probably going to be a lot more for some developers, but not others.
But like, I think they're still going to pay for exclusives, right?
That's the one part I don't know. That's the one thing that I'm like, the only thing I can think of would be that, but we don't know.
I would expect they will still do that, right? Especially going after, I think maybe this is them going about it from both sides of, hey, like we have the bandwidth to like go after certain devs and go after these things and pay them the lump sum so that we can get that exclusivity on our platform. But for everybody else who still has a cool game they want to put out, like give them a reason, give people an additional reason to come through, especially if it's a game that we wouldn't pay the lump sum for, which like on one hand, like sucks you couldn't get the exclusivity. But then on the other hand, making 100% of your revenue in the first 6 months, I would think it's pretty good still.
I mean,
like, regardless of the lump sum or not.
That's wild, man. That type of revenue split isn't a split. It's just revenue.
That's not a split.
And again, the first 6 months are the most important, like by far, when it comes to making that money. So, and on top of that, getting the promotional aspects and all this seems like a very, very, very beneficial option for developers to take if they are willing to commit to being exclusive on Epic, which is a choice and does divide an audience and cause some issues, but there's a lot of pros there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Epic has shown over the last couple of years that they are really trying to get this right in a way that benefits everybody. They need to make money. They need to, and they're making money from a lot of places, but they need to make more money if they're going to continue to succeed here, especially when Steam is still the dominant store out there, right? But this sounds like a excellent, excellent choice that I feel like is going to benefit a lot more developers than the current system, if it is one or the other.
Yeah. Wild. Story number four, Sony's PlayStation division is acquiring headphone maker Audiz.
Odyssey.
Audiz nuts. Odyssey.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you. This is from Jay Peters at The Verge. Sony Interactive Entertainment, the division of Sony's that's responsible for PlayStation, is acquiring the high-end headphone... is acquiring the high-end headphones maker Audiz.
Nuts.
According to a press release,
Odyssey.
Sony says that, quote, the acquisition will strengthen SIE's efforts to continue innovating when it comes to the audio experience of PlayStation games, end quote. Audiz
Nuts.
Will operate independently and still make products for multiple platforms, though Sony notes that it will be benefiting from being a part of the PlayStation ecosystem. Terms of the acquisition weren't disclosed. Sony's press release highlights how Audiz
Nuts.
headphones use patented technologies and unique planar magnetic drivers to deliver an outstanding sound experience.
Play on, sorry.
For consumers and recording professionals. Sony specifically mentioned planar magnetic drivers on Thursday when it shared more details on new PlayStation audio products, including the Pulse Explorer earbuds and Pulse Elite headsets. So it's feasible this deal has been in the works for quite some time. Both headsets will also take advantage of a new technology called PlayStation Link that brings low latency and lossless audio when used with the PS5 and new PlayStation Portal game streaming device.
Nuts!
Tim?
Yes.
You're a big Audi's fan.
I am.
No. Audi's nuts.
Very big, very big fan. This is really funny because on PS I Love You XOXO this week, Greg got to check out the PlayStation Portal and the new Pulse Elite headphones and whatever they're calling the earbuds as well. And got the briefing on PlayStation Link and how it's all going to work going forward with everything. And I got to talk to him about the tech side of things because I'm a little more informed than he is when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
And I am definitely by no means an expert, but I am an enthusiast when it comes to high-end tech. And I was bringing up Audacy being the standard when it comes to audiophile headphones, both in and out of the gaming space. Outside of the gaming space, they make some of the greatest headphones, period. Like audiophiles, they are one of the, I don't know, three or four companies I would say that are like, yeah, gold standard. Their CX line, I think it is like industry standard when it comes to so many different types of sound profiles you're looking for whether it's mixing, music listening, like everything you look for from an audiophile perspective, it's there. In the last couple of years, they've been making a shift into the gaming space, making very, very, very the highest end gaming headsets. And their methodology was simple. Let's just take great headsets and then just add a little microphone. Because unlike a lot of gaming headsets where they start that way, where it's like back in the day when everyone was like, I want to get a gaming PC. And it was an Alienware that looked like a goddamn rocket ship. Yeah. You know what I mean? Where it's like, I'm so happy we have like NZXT now. Where it's like, let's just be sleek and sexy and not try to fucking do too much. It's the same idea, right? Like you've seen gamer headsets, Turtle Beach, Astro, like all these things. Like
they look like gamer headsets.
They look like gamer headsets and they sound like gamer headsets. Yeah. And it's the Beats by Dre stuff.
I got so excited when I bought my first gamer headset and I started using it. I'm like, it's not that great.
And it's, you know, it's there's a lot of concessions made for a variety of reasons. Going back to the last conversation we're having about the Series S and stuff, a lot of it is budget. People aren't trying to spend the top line Audacy gaming headsets, $900.
Jesus.
Yeah. So
goddamn.
Obviously, that is not a mass market product, like at all. So they have a couple lower end ones that are, I think their most entry point gaming one is $100, and it is a little bit more comparable to gaming headsets we've seen before, but they have a $300 and $400 range. There was the Mobius and recently they put out the Maxwell. So Baird's showing the LCD fives right now. These are the flagships, $4,500.
That looks like an armored core.
And these, I've used these before. I do not own them. They are freaking fantastic, but like they are audiophile things. Mm-hmm. But the GX series, if you could look up, actually, if you go into products, gaming is like the second column bottom. There's the LCD GX. These are $900, and they're open back gaming headset. Mm-hmm. They're wired. They're fucking phenomenal.
They look sick.
The sound stage is insane. You know exactly where footsteps are coming from, where bullets are coming from, in a way that is unrivaled, unmatched compared to the other headsets. But it's $900, man. Yeah. Like that's absolutely insane. Then they have these, the $300 Maxwells. These are amazing. I would say these are currently the best gaming headset on the market. Mm-hmm. They're wireless. They're fantastic. They have the planar
magnetic
stuff that is just so much better. That kind of is the difference, that jump over into more an audiophile experience. Anyway, I was bringing up how they kind of are cornering that market in the top end side, which is not necessary for most people.
Yeah.
But I'd say below that is like the Steel Series, the Arctis Pros and all of that. But then underneath that, we had PlayStation, like the $99 Pulse headset that came out.
I love.
That's great. Honestly, I think it's a fantastic product for that price point. Like it's nowhere near as good as these other ones. Duh.
Yeah.
But like for $100,
it's a consumer product. Like it's supposed to be something that you can actually afford, right? Mm-hmm. It's still expensive for anybody, but It's something that you can actually feasibly buy.
If you're like, I'm trying to invest in this, I play games a lot, I want to use this thing, you're going to get a great use out of the Tempest, the PlayStation's 3D audio engine. Mm-hmm. So when we were talking about the upgrades to it, I was telling Greg that I think it's a little bit weird that the new headset they're putting out that's like the better Pulse is 150. And then the earbuds are 200.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah, and I'm like,
and I really want those earbuds.
I was like, it's interesting to me that the price points there, where I was like, oh, that 150 for, I would imagine that if they're going to put out an upgraded Pulse headset, it would have been in that $300 range. It would be like, let's actually make an upgrade and keep this one. Otherwise, this kind of just feels like replacing the Pulse at a $50 plus up, right? Yeah. Markup. But it all goes back to the PlayStation Link. Anyway, having said all of that, I'm very surprised by this news that days after that conversation, PlayStation is now acquiring them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of good and bad that can come from this. Looking through the press release, it sounds like the outside of PlayStation headphones, they're still going to be made. It's not going to be affected by the acquisition at all. Like, Odyssey's still going to make some of the best audiophile headphones out there. But I'm really excited about what this could mean for the gaming space of things. I do think the timing's a little bit weird with Sony putting out their PlayStation headphones now, like,
yeah,
and this coming out after. It's like, I now really don't want to buy the Pulse, the earbuds, or the headphones. Not that I necessarily was going to anyways, but I want to wait for the Odyssey versions of them, because I believe that they're going to be a lot better.
But like,
having said that,
would that take a while though for those to come out?
Maybe, but I mean, the timing of this news is very bizarre to me.
Yeah,
and also the Odyssey Maxwells just came out like, I want to say like 4 months ago or something. So like, we're a little off cycle when it comes to some of this, but I do try to think of the best way to say this, because I hate proprietary bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, I hate when you got to buy the memory stick duo for the freaking, that wasn't even proprietary, the Vita memory stick,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Hate that type of shit. It's dumb. PlayStation Link, I don't like it because it's proprietary and it's going to like lock you into something. Having said that, the tech behind it is extremely exciting, and the more I read about it and hear about it, it was so funny because Greg went to the PlayStation event last night. I spent like hours watching like the tech YouTubers that went to the game event. The way they talk about it, I was like, oh, okay. Okay, I got it.
Greg was excited to play PlayStation Portal.
They killed it on the Portal front. Greg fucking killed that. That's just not his shit.
Yeah.
Whereas I spend my time watching tech reviews. Seeing them talk about it, I'm like, oh shit, there's a lot of potential with this thing. And for Odyssey to be a part of that now, I'm like, oh man, there's a potential future that this could be really, really, really good in terms of lossless, wireless, no latency, audiophile quality experience.
Does it bug you though that Odyssey is now going to be probably lumped in with proprietary stuff? Because this is PlayStation acquiring them, right? It's not just Sony.
Yeah, so that's what's interesting. I mean, from reading the press release from the Odyssey side, it sounds like their headphones aren't going to be touched by this. This is It's only going to affect the gaming side of things, which, yeah, that does suck for Xbox and for Switch. Mm-hmm. But will they also be Bluetooth compatible? And then it won't really matter anyways. I would say probably. So I don't think it's really going to, I think if anything, this is just going to be really, really good for PlayStation gamers and not negatively affect the other guys, because the other guys just don't have this tech, but they'll have Bluetooth and very, very high quality products. Odyssey being in the gaming headset space is a good thing for everybody. And them getting more support and more mainstream push from somebody like PlayStation, I think, is only going to raise the bar of quality products. Mm-hmm. I think that it'll take down the highest end, but who the fuck's out there buying $900 headphones anyways?
Yeah. Are these the guys who I'm going to have to send pictures of my ear to?
No, that work was already done.
Wait, did I miss the memo?
This is the results of those tests. Yeah. Damn. They got these.
But
we never got Mark Cerny's number to send.
Yeah, Mark Cerny never took in the pictures of my ear. I didn't get the.
Oh, man. I got it.
Is it helping?
Oh yeah, dude. Oh yeah. Oh, second best baby blues.
Dang.
Number one. I don't even got a name for him.
Nuts.
Number one nuts.
Story number five: Stalker 2 has been delayed. This is George Yang at IGN. Actually, no. This is George Yang at GameSpot. Excuse me. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, has been delayed to Q1 2024, according to a new fact sheet for the game. Developer GSC Gameworld's latest fact sheet for Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, mentions that it'll be released for PC and Xbox Series X in the first quarter of 2024. Quote, the game will be available on Game Pass day one, and pre-orders are opened on our website, as well as on Steam and on GOG. Pre-orders of physical editions available on official website, end quote. The game was first revealed in 2018 and has been delayed multiple times for various reasons, including development issues due to the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russia. GSC Game World had to evacuate Ukraine, but has now presumably continued development. There you go. Every time I see footage of this game, more and more I'm like, this is different from what I had in my head. I don't know what too. I thought Stalker 2
was.
Yeah,
I'm with you.
But, like, this shit is wild.
A second ago, I thought that there was, like, a visual glitch, but it was just, like, a weird warping effect.
Yeah.
And then he was, like, fighting a dog, and I was like, please don't shoot the dog. He didn't shoot the dog, but audio listeners, he made the dog blow up in a very graphic way.
A lot of, like, animal violence going on in games recently. I don't know how I feel
Not
about
a fan.
It. Ever since
Not
we kicked fan. That squirrel, I've been...
Hey, that squirrel fucking started it, all right, Bless?
Yeah, but, like... That person ended it in a way that didn't need to be ended. So much blood.
There are two splatterings of blood when you kick the squirrel and when the squirrel hits the tree.
Me kicking the squirrel and the squirrel hitting the tree. Goddamn. Oof. Of course, hearts still go out to the developer, right, and all the stuff going down in the Ukraine. Like, I'll never forget watching the video that they put up about basically their dev diary on the updates on Stalker 2 with everything in Ukraine, and then being like, yeah, we're basically in the war now. Like, we're taking breaks from making our game to participate in, like, fighting the war and, like, you know, trying to hold this down. And so, man,
yeah,
it's a lot. But, like, the fact that, yeah, they're still working away on this game, of course, yeah, delay it for wherever you need to.
For sure.
Put this game out in 2026. We'll be here for you. Like, goddamn.
Yeah. Good point.
Story number 6, Persona-inspired Eternites launches a little earlier than planned. This is Robert Ramsey at Push Square. Eternites, the Persona-inspired action game with a heavy emphasis on character relationships, has actually brought its release date forward. It was originally set for the 21st of September, but now it's launching 9 days earlier on the 12th of September. Getting out the way of those games.
All them games.
Lies of P, Mortal Kombat 1. Good decisions being made. What's up, Barrett?
This gets a news story, but Persona 3 Reload getting a date.
Listen,
didn't get a news story yesterday.
Listen,
the Persona knockoff.
Eternite, have you seen a trailer for this? It looks cool.
I played it didn't have a public demo.
It was
at some
a Steam
point.
Next Fest demo. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm less sold on the game now.
Honestly, same. But still, you know, Eternite. Who cares about Persona 3 Reload, Barrett? You know. I'm waiting for Metaphor Re-Fantasio. That's what
he's trying to Fantasio,
I mean,
man.
Both of those games can be great, you know?
Nope.
We got Persona 3.
There can only be one.
There can only be one, Barrett.
Persona 3 can carry the first half of the year, and then we can get Re-Fantasio.
Excuse you, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is coming early 2024. And so...
Persona 3 Reload will carry the first half of the year, and then...
And Suicide Squad...
You guys, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, the Indigo Mask and the Tuxedo Teal, or whatever the fuck it's called, comes out next week. All right.
Oh, next week. Wow.
Next week?
That's not right. 2 weeks from now.
Okay.
That's just one of them.
Still, though.
This game looks really cool. Like, I think I'm going to pick it back up. Like, again, the Steam Next Fest demo didn't really sell me, but I think part of that was just, like, technically it didn't have it all the way there on the tech side of it. And then also, I feel like that early first impression of just, like, the social stuff wasn't great.
Yeah, I didn't love any of the characters. The best friend character was particularly kind of not well written.
Yeah. But when I look at the trailer and I look at the action... The action looks real good, and it's a really good, art style. And so I want to give it a shot, but yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Our final news story, story number 7. Speaking of Mortal Kombat 1, John Cena enters Mortal Kombat 1. This was tweeted out by the Game Awards account this morning. It's been confirmed John Cena will play the role of Peacemaker in Mortal Kombat 1.
Hell yeah, man. I love my boy Cena. He's out here trying to have fun. Always just being a stand-up guy, making shit happen. No gig too small.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it. Fantastic. Never seen this guy. You know? I've never seen him before in my life.
Why would you use this picture of him?
Like, yeah, what a wild picture.
Game Awards, come the fuck on. Show some goddamn respect to my boy JC. Andy, what do you think about this picture?
I would love if, like, for Peacemaker's character Mortal Kombat 1, they're like, oh, yeah, we couldn't get Cena, so we're having Peacemaker voiced by Randy Orton instead. That'd be insane.
Man.
Tim.
Randy Orton.
I'm very excited to hear, I guess, John Cena's, like, grunts and stuff. Like, what voice? What's he saying? I guess we'll do the intro.
Yeah, he'll do, like, intros. Yeah.
What's a Peacemaker
talk about
intro?
Eagly.
What's the intro that, like, okay, I'm Scorpion, you're Peacemaker. We both step onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
What's your first comment?
You can't see me.
That's good.
That's yeah, good. That's what it'll be.
That's really good. Fuck.
I'm like, that's not right.
Fuck. That's really good. Tim, I'm excited for this. But Mortal Kombat 1 is just so far away. If I want to, let's come out to Mom and Grab Shops today. Where'd I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. You can't see me really kill me. That was really good. Out today, we got Blasphemous 2 for PS5, Xbox Series X, Switch, and PC. Unpacking for iOS and Android. Ride 5 for PC, PS5, Xbox Series X. Shotgun King, The Final Checkmate is out now on Switch, Xbox, and PlayStation. I'm going to pause there. Tim? I've been playing a little bit of Shotgun King.
Oh!
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a roguelite where you play as a king on a chessboard.
Okay.
And you have a shotgun. And you take out the other pieces.
Interesting.
And so it starts off and it's like only a couple of pieces on the board that you're taking out one at a time. But then after each round, you get...
Not what I expected this to look like.
Yeah. You get like a perk and then like a negative perk to choose from that's going to benefit you and then also going to benefit like the enemy chess team, I guess. And like... As you play through, it gets more and more tough of like, all right, cool. Now we're adding in a queen. Okay, now we're adding in two knights. Okay, now we're making it. Now we're giving you a better weapon, though. Now we're doing, and it's like.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and like the pieces move like chess pieces, obviously. And you're taking it a turn at a time. And so you basically lose if you get checkmated, right? If you move to a spot to where you can get cornered in by a piece, it's really cool.
Shotgun King, The Final Checkmate.
Yeah.
Good for them.
It has a story.
Hell yeah. It's and you're the wild. Chess poppy, so that makes sense.
Yeah. No, as soon as I saw this, I was like, I got to check this thing out. I played it, and I was like, this is a really great idea. A really, really cool indie game. And then First Ones, the third episode of The Expanse, a Telltale series, is now available. Can you believe that?
I really
episode
can't.
Three.
The first episode came out?
No.
And then the second episode came out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
They yeah, both dude. Of them came out, and now the third episode is out.
That's wild.
I've heard negative people talking about this.
I know.
New day experience. Mike. Oh, yeah, is Mike keeping up with the episodes? I refuse to believe that.
I do, too.
New dates for you. Just Nut launches October 31st on Xbox Series X, PS5, and PC. The second... What's up? What?
Such a fuck, Bless.
What?
You're such a fucking fuck.
What? pull up the title screen, Barry. Isn't that the thing? Oh, Jusant. Jusant.
Jusant.
Jusant.
Jusant.
Jusant.
Just Nut.
October 31st. the second part of Sea of Thieves, The Legend of Monkey Island, The Quest for Guybrush launches August 31st, and then Infinity Strash, Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai is coming September 28th on Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, Switch, and PC.
Andy Cortez, I'm going to need you to come stand here for a second because I need you to see the logo for this game. Where did you have that? Can you send it to Barrett real quick?
Yeah, let me see if I can find it. Infinity Strash.
It is going to offend the living shit out of you, Andy. No. This is for Infinity Strash Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai.
I'm going to drop it in the assets, Barrett. He found it. Infinity Strash Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai.
Well, there's a lot going on here.
What's your graphic design review of this?
There's so much. I mean, you know, the rule is usually don't go above two fonts. Three would be stretching. We got four rocking here with the date being down there.
What do you think about the colors?
I mean, it really just looks like this is a vape shop that I drove by near GameStop. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Infinity hash or some shit.
Ugh.
I first read this as Infinity's trash.
Me too.
Yeah.
And you even said it that way.
Yeah.
But you didn't mean to.
I didn't mean to. Infinity Strash. I don't know what a strash is.
What the fuck is a strash?
You're getting a new Dragon Quest game coming out September 28th.
A cooler sash, maybe?
Somebody Google the definition of strash. A deal of the day for you. Cave Story Plus will be free to claim from the Epic Game Store on August 31st until September 7th. Tim? Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Rewrite in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe.
You'll love to see it.
And we got nothing wrong.
Zero.
Zero.
Not even a submission.
Something about that seems off, but I'll take it.
No, I'll take it. We said nothing but facts today, Bless. I felt it as we were saying them. I was like, this is right. This is right. Nothing wrong.
Let's be real. This was a fantastic episode.
It was.
It doesn't get better than this.
It was.
All right? It's got me. It got you. Got
what else do you need?
No,
Andy popped in for a sec.
No Jared Petty.
Barrett was here.
No Gary Whitta skipping my news stories.
Dream Squad.
Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily. Oh, look at that. It's Tim and Bless.
Oh, we're back at it. Continuing the good times.
Back at it like a bad habit. If you're watching this live after the KFG post show, the crew is doing a big back to school charity stream. I heard it's going to be a fun one. I heard them planning it. Some cool things going on.
Super cool. Everyone there, we're raising money for teachers out there to be able to fund their Amazon wish list for all the shit that they need because they don't have money to pay for it because
teachers don't get paid well anywhere. And it's really unfortunate. So we appreciate anybody who comes by and helps out the number of different teachers that we'll be helping today.
Of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games and Twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.
Just nut.
Aldies.
Nuts!
And it's time for the post show. Post.
It's post show time, everyone. We're going to read some super chats. We're going to read your resub messages on Twitch. Also, your hype messages on Twitch. Any way you want to message us, we will respond. It's going to be great. Andy's joining us.
We got a couple of questions we didn't get to, but I want to shout out Charles Jacobson's question that he wrote into KFGD. He shouted out Kojima's 60th birthday today. Happy birthday, Kojima.
Happy birthday, Kojima. That's great. Andy Cortez joining us now. This is my first time hanging out with Andy in over a week.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I mean, wild.
Longer than that. Yeah.
You were in Texas?
I was in Texas. Yeah.
Man.
It was real hot over there, Tim. Let me tell you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me tell you.
Not as bad as here, though, right? You know?
What's up?
Not as bad as here, though, right?
Oh, God.
Do you want like a like a scented lotion or like a
hairspray?
Okay.
Hairspray's got a little.
Did some good whiffs.
Your sit-down smell was real nice.
Oh, so there's a sit-down smell.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, when you sit down next to somebody, and you get
the waft.
Yeah, you get the waft.
I like that. Barrett, I sent you a TikTok to assets. Let me know if I need to send it somewhere else. But you talking about that logo reminded me of something I experienced the other day, or a couple months ago, but I think it's still worth bringing up. D Cash. With a $5 super chat, remember, you can send in your super chats here, because we're having a super chat with our super hosts. Let's watch this real quick. You could probably fast forward near the end, maybe halfway. There's like some dinosaur game that I was reacting to a trailer for, and
Exoprimal.
No, remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Remember Exoprimal?
God, that came out this year, huh?
Yeah,
it came out like 2 weeks ago.
It came out like last month.
Here we go.
I've seen enough of these games to know. I mean, first off, what's happening with the font here? What are we doing right here in this section in particular?
Yeah, the curring.
What are we doing here? I've just seen enough of these games to know, bro. Like, I've fooled me once with a lot of this shit, but like, what is this right here, gamers? The gap in between these words, odd. This is the same font as this, but it's squished. It's squishier, and then this pops in. This fucking font jump scares you out of nowhere.
Oh my god, that's such a good way.
And then down below,
pops out from behind the wall,
the italicized,
stabs you in your kidney. You know, silent. Like what is going on here?
It's
right
just
now?
Why, like, in what? Instinction. Like, why are some of the like the lines so thick, but the end so skinny?
It's like a Bioshock type font. It's like an Art Deco type font, trying to be all fancy.
Too much deco.
Dcash with a $5 super chat says, Tim, I'm shopping for a soundbar / sub to pair with my LG C2. What's the move? Wanted to integrate with my LG TV nicely.
Oh, here's the words you don't want to hear is there's no soundbar that is going to be good. There's going to be or great at least. There'll be ones that are good. They're totally fine, but soundbars just aren't the move. If you're talking about a sub, what you want to do is at least a get three speakers and a sub. And that's going to be way better than any soundbar ever will. You want the stereo sound. You want the center for the dialogue and things. Yeah, vocals and things
the
like that.
Vokes.
And then the sub if you want the bass. But like, yeah, soundbars just aren't really the move. There's a an LG soundbar that's like made for gaming, but anything that's made for gaming is probably not going to be the best. But they're good enough these days. But yeah, I would highly recommend getting a 3.1 system over a soundbar, and you'll probably spend less money.
$20 super chat. This was an hour ago. El Capitan. $20 super chat. Thank you very, very much. Very generous of you. Says, what's the point of sending engineers to Larian to help get split screen running when they dropped it from Infinite and it's delayed for Forza? Can't get it running on first party games. How could you help with someone else's?
Got him.
All games are different. Yeah, I mean, you know, video games are different.
Like, I don't know. I feel like you can put in split screen into some games, it probably wouldn't be as much of an issue as Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, I missed this. Are they helping?
I think it was talking about Halo in particular. I don't
know. No, well, I mean, I believe Larian talked to Phil Spencer. Phil was like, we'll send some engineers over there. Don't worry about it. We'll try to like fast track this and get this going.
Yeah.
I thought they weren't going to get split screen running.
Well, yeah, that's the decision now.
Yeah, I mean, now, yeah, the new thing is...
Sending engineers over.
Engineers failed.
That was like a week or two ago.
It's basically, the engineers went and went, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know how to do this. Y'all were right. All right, cool. Come on, Series S. We're sorry.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. Ant-Man. Resubscribed for 68 months. Has one more month. Granny Num-Num's 30 months of support. Elite Four Josh says, shout out Barrett. Almost a full year of subscription right there. And then also gifted out 5 subs. We got a $2 super chat from Manic Pixel says, can we get some Final Fantasy 16 spoiler chat?
I'd love to.
No, I haven't beaten it yet.
You beat it though, Andy.
I'm beating it.
Pretty, gotta talk to you about it.
Pretty
at some
decent
point.
Time. Pretty decent time. Pretty decent time. Norman
Osborne.
Norman V. I'm gonna call him Norman V.
Vosborne.
Vade Boncour. Cure.
Whoa.
It's one of those words.
Yeah.
You kind of like, you talk like you got a...
Has every...
Like you got some fucking Burger King fry remnants on the top of your mouth, you know? Back in the day when you eat Burger King fries, you'd get the remnants on the top of your... You never had that?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I was writing the metadata, and I was typing to Audis, and I was debating whether or not Audis to spell nuts. It with like Audis, D-E-E-Z, or just write it the way that it's actually spelled. At the end of the day, I did the actual way it's spelled, but I got real tempted.
I'm proud
of you.
Thank you.
Same person who leaked Project Q has said Sony is working on a PS5 Pro. Sounds like the goal is better RT and AI upscaling.
Not surprised.
Ooh, like the PlayStation DLSS?
Yeah.
Ooh, actually, I could be down for that. But like, isn't DLSS... Actually, no, I'm going to be speaking at my ass, but I'll still say it anyway. DLSS, isn't that like for lower-end machines that can't produce the high-end like demands that like...
Or... So the... The big worry now is that, I mean, it's a worry in quotes, but some people are going like, for example, Remnant 2 kind of requires DLSS in some ways, where a lot of people are worried that studios are going to be super reliant on these AI upscalers and it's just going to become the default from now on. Mm-hmm. So yes to your first question, but it's also for my RTX 4090. If I want to run full ray tracing, film quality like ray tracing, if I do that without DLSS at 1440p, I'm going to get like 18 frames per second.
Got it.
But if I turn on DLSS on, I'm going to get up to like 50, 60. Turn off frame chat, the visual triangle. Everybody hold the visual triangle, okay?
It's Illuminati.
The visual triangle. Remember, DLSS gives you the best of resolution, frame rate. You got to wiggle the sides. Resolution, frame rate, visual quality. Visual triangle.
Okay. So games are going to look better.
Games are going to look better, yeah.
Gotcha.
That sounds great. I mean, that's what we were hoping for with this new upcoming Switch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some higher reses.
And I like, it's that thing where I'm sure we say this every single generation, but I really genuinely, this generation with the PS5, I'm like, man, can games look better than this? Like, damn. And it's the same as like the Kobe system commercial with Kanye West, where Kanye is like, but like, how can I be any better? I'm the best or whatever.
More.
And Kobe's like, more. Just give me more. Are you the same beast and a different animal? What the fuck does that mean, LeBron? What the fuck does that mean, Kobe?
Shout out, Mama. Happy 45th birthday.
Hell
yeah. Shout
out, Mama.
Ricardo Gonzalez with a $5 super chat says, per Urban Dictionary, strash is being stressed out and trashed.
Stretched out and trashed?
Stressed out and trashed.
Mm.
And Dragon Quest.
I doubt Dragon Quest is using Urban Dictionary vernacular.
Who knows, though? Maybe they are.
This is the fucking Dragon Quest 14 getting crunk. And then Prince is crazy and drunk.
Yeah, like I type in strash definition, nothing comes up, but Urban Dictionary does. And it says, actually, let me read. Okay, here we go. Strash is the most awesome diggity dank nugs from Humboldt. It is also anything that is awesome and super sick.
Cool.
They spelled sick without a K.
Did Mike write that?
That's interesting. Matt Mamba, 17-month resubscription on Twitch, says, are Twitch resubs read during the post-show? Unfortunately not. Sebastian Tafoya with a $5 super chat asks, hey guys, it's my birthday tomorrow. I'll be going to San Francisco to visit the Academy of Science. Anywhere else I should visit?
Academy of Science is real dope.
Super dope.
That's going to be a very fun time for you.
I mean, that's gonna be a day.
Yeah,
I mean, you're gonna be in Golden Gate Park. Is it tomorrow, you said?
It's tomorrow, so it's Thursday.
What's happening tomorrow?
Nightlife.
I mean, it's about to be nice as shit. We're complaining that it's hot, but if you're visiting here, going to Golden Gate Park, you're gonna have a dope ass day. Just walk around.
It's gonna be beautiful today as well. Yeah,
there's
a
Ferris wheel like right outside of Academy of Sciences.
If you walk out, if you go north of the park, you can go to a couple of eateries that we like. Like there's Uncle Boy's, which is a good burger spot. Andy and I always talk about Volcano Curry. But then if you go south, there's Gordo's. The other things like down near Gordo's.
If you're going with a group of people, I would recommend on 9th and Irving, which is like right outside of Golden Gate Park. There's a place called Umma, UMMA.
Yep.
It means mom in Korean. It's Korean food, and it is so goddamn good. The only problem with it is definitely a order for the group type place. So if it's just you, don't go there. But if you can get like three people, y'all are going to have the best meal of your life.
Are you talking about just quantities massive?
It's massive quantities, and also the taste I feel like gets a little samey if you like just order one dish. But like if you get like four different things to share, then it like divides it up real nice.
I see. Also, if you see me walking down the street with a basketball, I accept open challenges. It's kind of like Street Fighter arcade mode. Yeah, World Tour mode.
Fucking like it's like Pokemon where it's like if you make eye contact, you like have to play basketball.
Let's see here.
Go to Marufuku.
Marufuku is fantastic. $5 super chat from Sergio Maldonado. Says, Andy, as a fellow Texan, what does blessing mean you guys don't have AC? Even when it's 60 down here, I need to have my central AC on just to sleep. These old buildings were never built with AC in mind because the temperatures never were that hot in order to, like, if it's going to be warm 2 weeks out of the year, they never saw it as being necessary here.
Yeah.
To my knowledge.
Yeah, right, they built them with the idea in mind that, most of the year it's going to be chilly and foggy and cold. So let's build these houses to capture as much heat as they can. So once you go back inside from the chilly, cold,
the chilly city, 55 degree weather outside.
Yeah. Then you get a little bit of warmth. And that made sense for the climate of San Francisco, 50 years ago, right? That's not what San Francisco looks like today because of, climate change and all that stuff. So, it's unfortunately fucking us a little bit.
Yeah, most houses in SF were built in the 40s. So, like, that was...
Yeah, that's the thing I get hazy about because I know there's the earthquake that, like, fucked up a lot of houses. So I forget, like, which ones were built when, so...
I was shooting the other day and I had that little temperature thing that came about me. 85 degrees in my room. Mm. Like, let me just kick on this little AC real quick.
Cool.
Arturo Tron, Robo Bartender, with a $10 super chat. BioWare created Baldur's Gate 2, one of the best CRPGs ever made, with Larian's goatee contender Baldur's Gate 3. What does BioWare need with Dragon Age 4 to regain their laurels after a string of disappointments?
What do you think, Andy?
Cool characters, cool setting. With me, Tim, it's less of like, do I care about the overarching story, or do I want to bang all these creatures?
Yeah. Can I ask you a question with that though?
Sure.
Do you ever
about banging creatures?
Yeah. Do you ever think that like you're gonna be all banged out? Like you're playing Baldur's Gate, you're trying to bang people. You're playing Mass Effect, you're banging people. Like, trying to settle down?
No, one never gets tired of banging out.
Yeah.
Especially when it's these computer characters. Like, the problem is though is that sometimes people notice the flirtation happening cross camp.
Yeah.
And Karlach is suddenly like, well, I mean, I did see you talking to Shadowheart. I'm like, it's kind of just a casual thing, casual,
I'm playing this game the exact same way I'm playing this.
Karlach, by the way, I'm past the point of where Karlach is like, Karlach already kind of like gave up on me.
Karlach put me in the friend zone real quick.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I had a bit more hope further on. Then I randomly talked to Lazelle, and Lazelle was like, I want to fucking ride you and taste you. And I was like, God damn, bro.
I was like, well, let me just quick save here. Let's see what happens.
you're playing the exact same way that I'm playing the game. It's like the exact same thing.
Barrett's in the living room. Let me lock the door real quick.
Anyway. Cover your eyes.
Electric Greg Tar with a $5 super chat. Do you think we'll ever get a Souls-like Castlevania game?
I can't imagine we don't, right? Like, the fact that it hasn't been announced yet, I do think is surprising. I also think is good. I think that the longer it takes for Castlevania to make a return, the higher chance that game's actually going to be good. I don't want them to just cash in. Castlevania needs to mean something. It is one of the most iconic titles in video game history, and I feel like year by year, that gets less and less true. But you look at the Netflix show, it's utterly fantastic. There's something special about Castlevania, and I feel like From Software has just taken the wind out of their sails and are like, nah, motherfuckers, we got this shit now.
Could you imagine that E3 trailer? If you started off a trailer that is Konami, and then it says From Software, and then it says Castlevania.
Oh, no.
People think Metroidvanias are just based in Pennsylvania now, like that because of the word thing.
Andy's back, everybody!
I don't even know if we answered Arturo Robotron bartender's question about Dragon Age. Anyway, let me just go back to the banging people. I think
sounds like the answer.
We just need meaningful character interactions with really good character arcs. I think if the story delivered is like a 7 out of 10, but all the other stuff surrounding it is really incredible and thoughtful, then I think that they'll have a hit on their hands.
Yeah. I really don't know how anybody follows up on Baldur's Gate 3. Like, just for what that game does as a fantasy RPG with so many different systems, so many different types of character interactions, so much freedom in how you want to play. Man, like, it's tough to compete with that, dude.
And my thing is, like, I think you need to focus on other aspects in order to have, like, when we look at Starfield, and I know the naysayers might say, like, man, this cannot touch Baldur's Gate, right? Like, look at all these Baldur's Gate is just, like, every choice really does feel like it matters. And on Starfield, are they going to go that deep within your actions? Maybe not, but you can customize the absolute fuck out of your ship, and you can customize the interiors. Like, their strengths were also put in a lot of different areas, and I think if you are to try to make a CRPG, then you really need to make the most robust character creator of all time, or the most crazy, like, I don't even know, camp, like, builder or whatever the hell. Like, you need something to kind of go alongside. If you're not going to be 10 out of 10 or 20 out of 10 at this point with Baldur's Gate, when it comes to all the choices and causes and effects and outcomes that happen, you need to really put and focus in other areas, because you're probably never going to live up to that. Lunchbox, 15-month subscription with Twitch Prime. Thank you for using your Twitch Prime.
Thank you.
Hey, you got Twitch Prime? Hand it the fuck over.
Hey, up.
Call your grandmother. It seems like we went years without any kind of split screen or couch co-op games. Why is it such a big deal for Baldur's Gate? I have no fucking clue.
Because they have it. Just don't have it, and then it's not a problem. But the moment you have it, people expect it to be on all the versions of the game. Like, that's just how simple as it is.
But I mean, that's Xbox's thing too, is parity between Series S and X. And I think, like, Larian just is dedicated to giving that option for couch co-op, and especially this being a D&D turned video game situation, right? They just wanted to give that option, but it was from the Xbox side where they're like, well, if this feature is on the X, it should be on the S, right?
And also, like, if that is the vision for your game, right? If it is like, oh yeah, we like to have couch co-op because that works for what we want Baldur's Gate 3 to be, it does suck to have to take it out because of the Xbox Series S in particular.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm like, if you're able to build the game with that and this lowest end thing is what's holding you, then I totally understand the decision of, oh, let's just not release on that thing then.
It also feels like a decision that, well, we know that this game has been in development for a long ass time, and it feels like a decision that was made like in 2002 2003, like, hey man, we're gonna bring you couch co-op, and the game got like, it took like 20 years to get made, and they're like, oh fuck, we promised couch co-op like way back in the day when it was like something more expected in games, and now that's just not very much of an expectation, I don't think. And I think if like it was never announced, you're right, Dim, if this was never announced, nobody would be asking for it, but you say it and now it's like the biggest deal in the world.
People pointing out that Steam Deck doesn't have the option for the split screen co-op. Yeah, but that's also, Steam doesn't have a rule of parity between PCs and Steam Deck, I believe. It's specifically because Xbox is like looking for parity between the S and the X, that this has been an issue.
Can you play split screen on PC on Steam?
I don't know. People were just saying Steam Deck.
I know a very specific like use case of people using split screen in Baldur's Gate 3. Like, only there are two people I know that are playing that way, and so like it's out there. But I definitely understand the idea of like not everybody's playing split, or most people aren't playing split screen.
Sure, I mean, but the amount of times that we see, you know, couples out there playing where it's like I'm on my TV and they're on theirs, and it's like that's Imran kind of a normal thing. I think it should have just been super pared down, and like you can't even control the other character movement wise. Maybe like once the action begins in a fight scene, then you can like, hey, little cousin, you select the moves, you know, like
with Mario Galaxy.
My thing is that like split screen hasn't been a problem for Baldur's Gate 3, except for the fact that they couldn't get it to work on the Xbox Series S. And that means that they couldn't put it on Xbox. And I think if that's the case, then it's like, I think that's more of an Xbox issue.
Oh, it's 100%
a Baldur's Gate issue. Like, I don't think the solution is to go, oh, actually, let's just not have split screen. Like, this is never worth it in the first place.
No, for sure. Calvin Perez with a $10 super chat says, asks, Bless, how accessible is the skill tree in Armored Core? I was on the fence until you recommended it to another person because they love Returnal, but the skill tree still intimidates me.
The skill tree?
Yeah.
In Armored Core, upgrading your character? That stuff is really easy.
Buying parts.
Buying parts is very easy.
Get the blue. Blue is better. Red is bad.
There is a. It's not a skill tree necessarily, but there is an upgrade system in Armored Core that is very straightforward. There is an arena mode that you go to where you fight one on one with other mechs. When you win those, you then earn. I forget what they're called. I think they're called like OS points or something. OS.
They race for pink slips.
Yeah, they
OS
race for chips, pink slips.
Yeah.
But you unlock these OS chips, and then you take that to the OS tuning menu, and then. You just buy whatever upgrade you want, and it's all like very explanatory and straightforward. Of, oh, I want more damage for ballistic weapons. I want more damage for energy weapons. Oh, I want the ability to press down and triangle to like do a quick turn or whatever. It's stuff like that. That said, I'll prioritize the core expansions. Basically, what those do is that they give you like these emergency shield systems, and those are good for really tough boss fights. And so the one that I started off with was the terminal armor. And what happens with that is that when you get down to one hit, it automatically activates so that, you know, if you get caught off guard and like somebody gets like a killing blow on you, you kind of get that extra chance to live. And then you can either repair or try and like go for like your final hits and take out your enemy. And so if you're upgrading in that upgrade system, definitely like prioritize that terminal armor. And then from there, just do whatever appeals to you.
Great job, 621. Put me in the game, Tim. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
CJ splits on with a $2 super chat. Says, what new genre would you like to see Larian tackle? It's not necessarily a new genre. I've just seen people throw out there that put this in the Warhammer universe.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like Larian should do a four-player third-person shooter game. You know?
Sure. Okay.
I agree.
Okay.
With a battle pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have to play online.
I do like the idea of them going like either post-apocalyptic or sci-fi or both. I forget what it was called. Not Warframe, not Wargroove. Then the Warhammer. Is Warhammer like adjacent to like, I guess, fantasy space shit, right?
There's two versions.
Mm-hmm.
40K is what I've been told. 40K is the Star Wars. And Warhammer is the medieval Lord of the Rings.
Gotcha. I would love to see them do something that is more sci-fi adjacent.
That's what I've been told, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the one that like Rahul is in?
That's 40K.
Warhammer 40K Bolt Gun, and the Warhammer 40K Space Marine out soon.
I'll play the fuck out of a Star Wars Larian
game. Warhammer that's not 40K?
Yeah, that's the one with the rats. Remember, I was like, what are the rats?
Vermintide?
Oh, yeah, they say 40K is the StarCraft and the regular Warhammer is Warcraft.
Huh.
Give me Larian Rebel Moon.
Yes.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
That
was
that. If you want Rebel Moon to be successful, give it to Larian and give him all the money you have. Like every single fucking dollar you have, just give it to them.
Jace Metal resubscribed for 20 months using Prime. Give us that fucking Prime. Naughty Biscotti, 83 months. God dang. Says, y'all rock. That's all. Thank you, Naughty Biscotti.
Thank you.
Very, very kind of you. 200 biddies from Turtle Espresso. Just, or Turtle Espresso. No message. Just wanted to do that. 7 months of Prime from Gentle Robert. Says, here you go, Andy. You digitally handed it over to me through the screen. Ben Hit, 13 months of resubscription with Prime. Thank you, Ben Hit. Brian Murphy with a $12 super chat says, speaking of Gamescom, Quantic Dream CEO said Star Wars Eclipse is a different game than anything they've ever done before, including Detroit. What do you expect from them, and what would you like? Expect a lot of Martin Luther King references.
I like two-thirds of that game so much. And then you get to the Martin Luther King civil rights stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck is happening in this fucking video?
Digital graffiti.
Like, yeah. That game should have just been a Connor game. Through and through. I love my guy Connor.
Man. I don't shout out to Clancy Brown, who's
Clancy
cool.
Brown.
Yeah, he's so good in that.
That game was
I'm Connor.
Just make it a detective game.
That's my impression.
It should have been a detective game. Connor should have been the one star of it. Like, get rid of the fucking, yeah, the Martin Luther King stuff. And then also, like, the, I forget the name of the girl. Oh, they made the whole short.
Kara.
Kara, get rid of the Kara stuff, because hey, that stuff was weird.
Like, Connor.
You get introduced to Kara, and it's you running away from a man and, like, trying to hide from him. Yeah. He's, like, fucking abusive.
Yeah.
Get that out the game. Like, no, let's just make this a Connor game.
Yeah, Star Wars. What do I expect? Honestly, I don't expect much from this, like, because of a lot of what you guys are saying. What do I want from it? I just want a really quality Star Wars story that I feel like we began a lot of recently. Like, we talked about Andor. Ahsoka so far is freaking awesome. Jedi Survivor is incredible. Fallen Order was incredible. Looking at Outlaws, it looks incredible. Like, I just want more Star Wars video games. Star Wars can be adapted to games so well because there's so many unique sounds and ships and weapons and characters that it's like, yeah, there's a lot there that they can get right. And I feel like Quantic Dream has shown that they have the stuff in some ways and has shown that they can mess that up in many others, right? But I feel like Star Wars might be that secret ingredient that brings it all together. At least I'm hoping.
I would be shocked if this game ever comes out.
And there's that too.
Yeah.
I wanted to address something real quick before we end the post show. Ben Starr went very viral once again.
He's been going viral like crazy.
With his audition for Mario, doing the Clive voice, which I think I do just as good. Mm-hmm. And some people said, Andy, where's your audition? What are you going to do? What are you bringing to the table? And I've got a couple things cooking. I can give you a sneak preview right now. Please. If you'd like. For the new Mario voice, Nintendo. Action.
Hello there, Luigi. You don't know me.
No, fuck.
It's a me, Mario. You don't know me, but you're about to.
So you could put that on the reel if you'd like. Good. Put that on the voice acting reel. Hey there, it's me. It's a me, Mario. Well then, Mario, we're going to Tahiti after this, Mario. It's me, Luigi. See,
he turned into Hank Hill at the end.
Dutch, no, it's Dutch from Red Dead Redemption.
But at the end, there was little Hank Hill.
Yeah.
Oh, Bobby.
Bobby.
Well, Dutch, Arthur Morgan.
What if it was a little more?
He's in the game too. He's a Mario too.
What if he was a little more Donald?
We need Trump Mario.
Huh? What if he was a little more Donald?
I don't know if that was the Donald he
was
asking.
I was going Trump, but okay.
Oh. Listen, the Mushroom Kingdom is so... The Mushroom Kingdom, they want to close the walls, and we want to build that wall in the Mushroom Kingdom.
That sounds like Bowser, but what if Mario was like a certain professor who taught like a potions class?
Well, Mr. Bowser, you don't know me, but you're about to...
What if he was back. Paris Lily?
So, it's me, Mario.
It's really good.
Thank you.
It's really good.
The Frog Knight, 28 months of support, says, I stopped watching on Twitch. Usually on YouTube now. Here's my Prime, Frog Knight. I love that. Set that reminder, everybody. Some people are like, how the hell do I do this? Remind me, Andy. Set yourself a fucking reminder in your goddamn smartphone. And boop, it goes off. And then you just go to the channel on your phone. You go boop, and you hit the button. Easy as pie, dude. Manny Thorne, 40 months of tier one love, says, this made me want a 40-inch sub sandwich.
A lot of inches.
What are you gonna do with that? My brother resubscribed for 25 months using Prime. Aaron, set a fucking reminder. And Dave91, sorry for cursing if the kids are watching. Dave91N, 49 months, the final one, resubscribing with Prime.
And I'm John Marston.
And that's the end of the post show, everybody. I'm just throwing it all out because I got to act like there's scouts in the audience. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
You never know.
Yeah. You never
we
know.
Got dance floor demon out there.
Never know what talent agency Charles you're Jacobson watching right now.
Opportunities abound.
Thank you, Charles. Charles, hit up your people, all right?
Hit up your people, Charles.
We'll see you right after this where we're doing a little fundraiser stream. Mm. We're clearing out a bunch of teachers' school shopping lists because teachers got to buy their own shit, and it's crazy. So let's help out all those teachers out there. Pay the teachers. We'll see you in a bit, everybody.